the coalition government's planned removal and replacement of the gender, sexuality and relationship-based education guidelines is ominous and out of step with what our young people have said they want. So says Professor Katie Fitzpatrick. He's the head of school curriculum and pedagogy at the Faculty of Education and Social Work here at Auckland Uni. Katie, thank you for joining us on today's program called Day o Tēnā. It's wonderful to have you with us. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Day o Morena.
Morena. Well, look, why do you think the coalition has decided to remove and replace the gender, sexuality and relationship-based education guidelines? What's behind their decision from your understanding, Katie?
It's kind of hard for us to know what's behind the decision. It was negotiated as part of the New Zealand First coalition agreement, with the incoming government. And I think it'll be a real surprise to communities. Not a good surprise. None of the parties signaled this in their pre-election manifestos that they were concerned about these guideline documents. So it's hard to know exactly why. I think it's a particularly New Zealand First policy, I would say, because it was something that they've obviously pushed for in those coalition talks.
So you say it's not what young people want. How do you know that?
Well, we've had three different petitions to Parliament since 2017 for young people asking for better relationships education, better sexuality education. They're particularly concerned about sexual violence statistics in New Zealand, and they want to learn about about the kind of worlds that they're engaging in. They're interested in consent education, they're concerned about that, and they want schools to engage, really, in the worlds that they're living every day rather than put their head in the sand and avoid talking about relationship, sex and sexuality education.
Which is important. I just touched on the fact that there are protest actions at what appears to be a dialing back of Māori support politically, and it also feels as though we are swinging back attitudes towards gender, fluidity, sexuality. We're dialing it back to 1950s USA or New Zealand as well. How retrograde a step do you consider this approach?
Yeah, it seems very, very backwards and out of touch with communities and with young people. I mean, we know that young people who identify as pukatapui or an LGBTQI are more likely to be bullied at school, for example, and to suffer poor mental health. And, these guidelines actually give schools some clear direction in how to do a better job of that, how to address bullying, how to, create more inclusive environments. There were Māori co-writers on this document as well, so there is important Māori content in here. It's underpinned by Tā Mason Drury's Whare Tapa Whā model and lots of other research in relationships and sexuality education by key Māori researchers. So this might be a related move. It's hard for us to know, but it's certainly concerning, and it does seem like a bit of a betrayal, I think, of communities and of schools who've been working really hard with their communities and deep engagement with their communities to understand the kinds of relationships and sexuality education that communities want. And I know schools have been, having whānau hui and, just really engaging with communities to make sure that they're not doing something outside of their community here in this space, but actually engaging and bringing communities along with them. Schools are part of communities and they work really effectively in that space. So it does seem backwards, you're right. It seems like a regressive step to try and, I don't know, it's hard to know exactly what the intention here is, but the risk is that it's going to take us backwards and to a time where we didn't want to talk about sex and sexuality education, certainly in English medium school contexts.
Yeah, it does appear disrespectful to the abilities and nous that our younger people carry. Remember, they've grown up in the digital age, exposed to information much wider than those who preceded them. And it does seem like a decision made on high by the baby boomer generation, whereas a lot of our young people are au fait with sexuality corridor and with different approaches and allowing people to just live how they want to. So less phased by it all, perhaps, than the generation making these types of decisions, do you think, Katie?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, I sort of laugh about some of the kōrero that happens around gender, and that comes from a fear-based discourse. And I think, you know, young people, it's not fearful for them. They think about gender and sexuality in a diversity of ways, so that it's beyond the, you know, male-female binary. And that's not new to them. They're also engaging, you know, in all kinds of online contexts. Dating is online. Young people are engaging with sites like Instagram and TikTok apps. And, you know, there's lots of work in there around, you know, body image and identity. That's really natural for them. And I think you're right. I think, you know, New Zealand First in particular here are signalling that perhaps they're very out of touch with the world of young people and are not understanding the stuff that's pretty normal for young people, and it's okay. And they want to talk about it. They want to open up the discussion, not shut it down.